I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart of the country.
Today on Close to Home, I'm going underground, about a half a mile underground to be precise, as I tour Sudan Underground Mine State Park. And the park is located just off Highway 169 between Tower and Ely. When I arrived at the park, I talked with James Pointer, the interpretive supervisor, to get some background information on what I was about to see.
Well, we're a former iron ore mine. We're actually the first mine in Minnesota. We're also the deepest mine in Minnesota, and we have the richest iron ore in Minnesota. When people come here, they see a short video, and then they get their hard hats, and then they get to go almost half a mile underground. Once they're underground, they'll load up onto a train back to what was one of the working parts of the mine here, and they get a chance to learn the mining process, learn the importance of the iron ore to Minnesota and to our country. And they learn about the life of the miner and what it was like to be a miner here. And
oh, come all you young fellers, so young and so fine, and seek not your fortune in the dark, dreary mine.
Despite what Johnny Cash's lyrics may imply, this is no dark and dreary tour. But those words do echo through my mind when I think about the lives of the miners who toiled here for 80 years, working in dark and dangerous conditions. The mine began operation in 1882 as an open pit mine, but the high-quality ore here was not spread shallowly near the surface. Instead, it ran deep down into the earth. So in 1892, underground mining operations began and continued until the mine closed in 1962, a victim of technology changes and much cheaper costs of taconite that was being mined in large open pits, which are a familiar sight on the Mesabi Iron Range today. The underground tour began at the headframe, and our tour guide, Larissa, or Larry as she's called, described what was to come next.
Over here, big metal structure above our heads is called a headframe, makes all of this movement possible, okay? It's been in place since 1927, but like I explained in the theater room, that shouldn't freak you out because this is a really, really safe system. Otherwise, I promise you I would not be here today. You'll see we've got the rails that go down into the earth, and we ride on the rails as we go down. And if you take a look there, you'll notice that they're not straight up and down. They go down at an angle, so as we go down, we're gonna do the same thing. We're gonna travel down and north about 500 feet. So to give you some perspective, when we get out of our ride, we're gonna be on the other side of the open pit that's right over there.
We then packed into the small car for a 3-minute ride down.
So I will shine a light out the front here as we travel. We pass about 17 other exposed mining levels. They're basically just like floors that come out in the wall in front of us, just like we were traveling on an elevator. Most of them are just big black openings that you're gonna see, but we do have two with lights. These are levels 12 and 22, and they're pumping stations. So if we drive by and the lights are off, we know there's a problem and we have to let somebody know that we're getting too much water.
The ride was a little bumpy and, as you can tell, noisy.
Whee!
Got that sinking.
We soon arrived safely below and loaded onto open train cars to learn more about the mine and the miners.
Cadillac mines. Think back to the 1960s. Cadillac is a pretty high compliment to call something. So when they were working here, they did not call it the Cadillac of Mines. I'm sure they had all kinds of colorful nicknames for this place, so I will not repeat. But when we shut down in 1962, these guys didn't have a lot of options. They could go to school and they could learn some kind of trade or get an education to become something else, or they could go keep being miners. And that's what a lot of them are going to choose to do. So they're gonna go start working in other iron mines around the area that have much different, and in most cases, worse conditions than they experienced here. Then they think back on their time here, and then they call it the Cadillac, because they're thinking about what they no longer have anymore.
On any tour, the tour guides can make or break the tour experience. The two guides that were leading my tour were very knowledgeable and made it a really enjoyable experience. They obviously enjoyed what they were doing and sharing their enthusiasm with us. I asked each of them what they liked about working here.
My name is Larissa. I love it. You know, there's so many great things about working here. Location, I mean, you get to come out every day and you get to look out over this vista and see this beautiful view. And we've got the great woods up here, so it's just always beautiful when you're outside. And then the people I work with are just amazing. We have such a variety of knowledge bases and people who have different experiences that we get to work with and we get to learn from them. Every day I come into work and I learn something new, which you don't get to say at a lot of other jobs. Probably my favorite things.
My name is Alyssa Huyanen. I am from Tower, Sudan.
And how long have you been doing the tours?
I just started May 12th, and I have been going underground every day since. It is the greatest job in the world for me, because every time I go underground, I learn something new. I get to learn about new people and their cultures and where they came from, and it is such a great experience, and every single tour is different. Every single guide talks about different points and what they find is more important, and I get to go along with every single one of them, and every time it's a great, great experience.
Good. So a lot to learn here?
Yeah, a lot to learn. There's more than what I thought that I was gonna like see and do, and there's a lot more to it.
What's the best part of working here?
What's the best part? Going underground when it's 90 degrees when we come up.
The mine stays a pretty consistent 52 degrees underground. James agreed that the staff was a tremendous asset to the site.
It's a great staff. If you go on any tour, I mean, every tour is different, which is a bonus to what's here. We don't have canned tours. It's the guides make up their tour based on information that they've learned. And so you could come here 12 times and see 12 different tours.
And I asked James about one misconception about the site.
Yeah, so one thing just to mention, a lot of people have been hearing about our physics lab closing, and the physics tours are no longer being offered. The physics lab has decommissioned their laboratory, and unfortunately, a lot of the announcements that go out make it sound like that the mine is closed too. But as you can tell from this interview, the mine is still going strong. We're doing tours every day, and we welcome people out here. Something new that we've added to our repertoire of tours is we're actually doing some surface tours that are free of charge, and those will be in the afternoon at 1:30 and 3 o'clock. So you can sign up for those. Those are just first come, first serve. Yep. But it helps to tell the rest of the story that you might not get if you just went underground.
Sudan Underground Mine State Park offers tours daily from Memorial Day through September and on weekends in October. For Northern Community Radio, I'm Grant Fraser, and this is Close to Home.
Where it's dark as a dungeon, damp as the dew, danger is double and pleasures are few. Where the rain never falls, the sun never shines, it's dark as a dungeon way down in the mine.
Close to Home is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.